Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 29th. I'm Abby Larico. Herman Thomas Jr. is the new foster care director at Lutheran Family and Children's Services, and he says there's a greater need for foster homes in Missouri than people know.
The struggle is real. I heard so many horror stories about kids having to sleep in offices, and when I came here, I saw that firsthand.
His conversation with STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley about issues that foster families are facing. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A St. Peter's man has admitted that he was drunk and had drugs in his system when he lost control of his vehicle and killed a St. Louis police officer last year. 25-year-old Ramon Chavez Rodriguez pleaded guilty yesterday to felony driving while intoxicated and driving without a valid license. Prosecutors want a 15-year sentence. SLMPD officer David Lee was responding to another crash on Interstate 70 when he was hit. Lieutenant Paul Lauer says Lee is missed by his colleagues in the traffic safety unit.
He's dedicated, very professional, but always kind of quiet. Sometimes you would, you know, forget that he was in the room. But, you know, we always enjoyed working with him.
Chavez Rodriguez was in the country without legal status at the time of the crash. He's likely to be deported to his native Honduras after he finishes his sentence. The case against a former officer accused of fatally shooting Sonia Massey in her home near Springfield is now in the hands of jurors. Prosecutors and defense lawyers in Sean Grayson's murder trial finished their closing arguments yesterday morning. Grayson, who was white, faces three counts of first-degree murder for the killing of the unarmed 36-year-old black woman. He could spend the rest of his life in prison if convicted of the charges. Tonight, the City Foundry and Operation Food Search are hosting a food drive in response to the news that the U.S. Department of Agriculture will not be distributing November SNAP funds during the federal government shutdown. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports.
Food donation bins will be available at the Foundry and several local businesses all November long. But during the event, drive-through donations can be dropped off at the City Foundry roundabout access from Van Deventer. Operation Food Search is asking for items including canned meat, pasta, and toothbrushes. The group's chief operating officer, Carlton Adams, says the need for food is already greater during the holiday season, and SNAP cuts will increase that need even more.
We'd already geared up for the season, so now we have to gear up on top of that to try to find more sources of food and nutritious food to distribute to the community.
The USDA's decision to stop SNAP benefits during the shutdown has garnered lawsuits from several states, including Illinois. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
The event is tonight from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. during the Foundry's Live Art Market. And about those lawsuits, the state of Illinois and 24 others are suing the U.S. Department of Agriculture over those plans to stop funding food benefits on November 1st. Capital News Illinois reports the lawsuit claims the department has contingency funding that allows it to continue paying for SNAP. Nearly 2 million people in Illinois receive SNAP benefits each month. Illinois Democrats say they will not vote on a new congressional map this week. Alex Degman reports.
U.S. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries hopes Illinois will redraw its 17-district map to favor Democrats more. He got a lukewarm reception. A spokesperson for Illinois House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch says they won't consider a new map this week, but all options are on the table in the future. But the deadline for candidates to file to run is next Monday. State Representative Cam Buckner says someone needs to explain how they can vote for a new map given that constraint.
I think that's part of what the leader and delegation in DCCC has to do to in order to sell this to folks. Once again, we're here to listen.
Some GOP states have already redrawn their maps ahead of next year's midterms at President Trump's request. I'm Alex Degman.
And of course, that includes Missouri, but lawmakers are learning that that redrawn map isn't as easy to bring across the finish line as they had expected. You can find more of our coverage on that at STLPR.org. St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman is foregoing his retirement plans to run for another term. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on how Ellman's decision is shaking up the GOP primary for the powerful post.
Ellman was first elected as county executive in 2006 and had said he wasn't running for another term. But he says a new political environment on a state and federal level prompted him to run again. He also says he has a desire to play a role in the St. Louis region's growth.
Because if we don't, sooner or later, everybody who wants to move to St. Charles County will do it, and we'll be no growth like everybody else.
After Ellman announced his re-election bid, St. Charles County Councilman Mike Elam announced he was dropping out of the GOP primary for county executive. Ellman will face former state senator Bill Eigel and former Lake St. Louis Mayor Jason Law, who both criticized Ellman for running for another four-year term. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis officials say the city will tighten its grant budget for community development programs in 2026, with looming uncertainty over the federal budget. The city's Community Development Administration proposed a $17.4 million budget to the Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee. That's a 5% cut from last year. The proposed federal budget cuts $200 million from the Federal Community Development Block Grant Fund that feeds that budget. Those grants fund food assistance, housing aid, and more. Noelle Pfeffer leads the city's Community Development Administration.
Of course, we're in the midst of a shutdown, and so we don't know where the House and Senate and White House will ultimately find a reconciliation.
Members of the city's Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee approved the plan. A public hearing will be held November 6th. St. Louis officials plan to pay thousands of dollars to continue providing security for the long-vacant Railway Exchange building downtown. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, little progress has been made on the troubled project itself.
Members of the Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority extended a $78,000 contract on Tuesday to install more metal sheets on the downtown high-rise and continue 24-hour security at the site. Earlier this year, the board purchased the nearby abandoned garage in hopes of demolishing the structure and hoped to purchase the 22-floor building itself through eminent domain. But 7 months later, little movement has been made on those plans. A roughly $4.75 million price tag has been put on the main building. Sean Spencer is a member of the Redevelopment Authority Board.
We really need to prioritize, get proactive, and put these incentive packages together similar to what you've done on some other sites.
Other members of the board also urge LCRA staff to figure out the next steps of the project. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri has a new foster care director. Herman Thomas Jr. has more than 20 years of experience serving vulnerable youth and families, and most recently spent a decade at the Family Juvenile Court of St. Louis. Thomas sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley to discuss how the May 16th tornado impacted foster families and why kids are staying in the system longer than they should.
It was tragic because a lot of resources got shifted, rightfully so, to the victims of the tornado. So you had now where a parent, for an example, have to have appropriate housing as part of their court order services. Well, now, because they've been impacted by the tornado, they no longer have appropriate housing.
Did any kids have to be taken from their homes?
I don't recall us actually taking any child that was impacted by those tornadoes. It was a situation of, can you call your uncle? Can you call your cousin? Can you call your best friend so we can keep that family intact?
Gotcha. The Missouri Department of Social Services reports that in most state counties, kids are staying in foster care longer than the federal standard, which is about a year. Why are kids staying in the system longer than they should?
A multitude of reasons. Some parents, not all, now view, wow, I get to have my child be in the system. And let's say, for example, that child is now with a relative. I get to live my best life now. And that's not the case across the board with older youth. Now, this is the first time I've had three meals a day. This is the first time I've been able to be a teenager. This is the first time I can go to a homecoming dance and, you know, be able to buy something new to wear to this school event. I just get to be a teenager. So a lot of times they will inform the courts, Your Honor, I don't want to go home. I'm not ready to go home. I just, you know, I want to reap all the benefits that I can get remaining in care. So I would rather stay in care.
What would you say are some of the top issues that foster kids are facing in Missouri today?
Placement of homes. The struggle is real. I heard so many horror stories about kids having to sleep in offices, case managers, you know, spending the nights in hotels with kids. And when I came here, I saw that firsthand.
Yeah. So what do you all do in those situations? I mean, obviously, the kids have to have somewhere to go. Has it happened recently?
About 2-3 weeks ago, we had kids in the office for a straight 2 weeks of trying to find placement. So a few things. We do it all hands on deck. All staff is required to be in the office. All staff is required to sit with the child. Of course, we feed them, play games with them if they want to, but we're all here. We also utilize another establishment in the event that we need someone to, or they actually need to sleep somewhere overnight. And so while it's not ideal for staff to spend a night in the office, we do have another place that we can send kids.
Yeah. What's the most rewarding part of doing the work you do?
When that child came into care and that parent was at their lowest, and that child get to see mom and dad again as mom and dad and not a perpetrator or somebody that hit me or somebody that didn't feed me. When the system worked, because I think there's a lot of stories when the system don't work, but there's a lot of stories when the system do work as well. So when I can have those full circle moments of these foster families, of these kids and kiddos, I think that's awesome.
That was Lutheran Family and Children's Services Foster Care Director Herman Thomas Jr. speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.